Stand Your Ground, Part 2, The Remnant Commission. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you teach and instruct and guide through us, that you anoint my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, that you open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of those that may hear this to receive a heart of understanding, and that they might repent and be healed. Lord, we're crying out for your directions. We thank you for your revelation. We worship you. We thank you, Jesus, the Word made flesh, that you're here with us in your holy name. All right, I'm going to start on Daniel 11. And this is the next part. I'm going to go to the part. Whew, thank you, Lord. Where the abomination that causes desolation is set up, and then the opening of that, and then we'll move into what the fear of the Lord is. That's a brief outline. I'm going to be working through two scriptures, the Complete Jewish Study Bible, and it's just one of my, I love this, the Archaeology Study Bible, which is taken off of the English Standard Version translations. Daniel, let's look at Daniel 11. Well, I'm going to start at 29. Now, we know that scripture has multiple, especially prophetic scriptures, as a third of the Bible. Traditional Bible is prophecy. And as it says in Revelation 22, the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So at least a third of the scriptures are prophetic, as men were moved, holy men in the days of old. And no scripture, you know, is by singular interpretation. It is confirmed by those. It has a definite, distinctive interpretation. So you can't take it and say, well, this is what God showed me. If it doesn't line up with the principles of the entire scripture, then it's out of context. It's not of private interpretation. The meaning is clear. Having said that, it's a living book, and it's a beautiful gem. Or a principle is a sub-gem, a different branch, different category than a diamond or a beryl stone. And there are different facets and aspects to that. So let's get some treasure here. So he's talking about this, the king of the north. Okay. In Daniel chapter 11, the king of the south and the king of the north. And there are two kings. And these two kings are bent on mischief, will sit at the same table speaking lies to each other. Oh. But none of this will succeed because the appointed end will not have come yet. Then the king of the north will return to his own land with great wealth, with his heart set against the holy covenant. He will take action and then return home. Verse 29. At the time designated, he will come back to the south. But this time things will turn out differently than before, because ships from Kittim will come against him, so that his courage will fail him. Then in retreat, he will take furious action against the holy covenant, again showing favor to those who abandon the Holy Covenant. Those would be believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Armed forces will come at his order and profane the sanctuary and fortress. Now we're talking about who? Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay. But Jesus referred to when will we know you're coming, Lord, and so on. And he said, when the abomination that causes desolation between the wings of the sanctuary, which was the temple, will be defiled. So, okay, We also know that this is prior to the first advent of Jesus, if you will, and it had to do a lot with the Maccabees. Okay, you can do your history. But Jesus is referring to his return. Again, it is a pattern here. This is a principle. They will abolish the daily offering set up by the abomination that causes desolation. So I'm going to stop right there. That's the Jewish, complete Jewish Bible. And let's look at the archaeology Bible, archaeological, the New American, what did I say? English Standard, excuse me, not American. Okay. So here we go. It says, the angel that describes Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the little horn of 6-9, so the Antichrist is going to be a pattern off of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. He was not the legitimate heir to the throne, to whom royal majesty had not been given. He was a contemptible person who murdered his nephew, the rightful king. He shall obtain the kingdom by flatteries, perhaps reversed to bribes. Ptolemy the Fourth attacked him and was defeated. Later, Ptolemy the Sixth made an alliance with Antiochus the Fourth, but acted deceitfully. So that would be the king of the south. Okay, Ptolemaic Egypt is south of the Levant, but he acted deceitfully and betrayed him. Antiochus the Fourth retaliated by plundering some of the richest parts of the Ptolemaic realm. Ptolemy the Sixth responded by attacking with his own great army, but failed in part because his counselors gave him poor advice. Those who eat bread with him break him. Antiochus the Fourth returned to his land and plundered the temple along the way. His heart shall be set against the Holy Covenant, killing 40,000 Jews and taking another 40,000 to sell as slaves. This is 2 Maccabees 5, 2 through 14. thank you. But at the time, so where do we go? And forces, they will abolish. Okay, so then in retreat, he will take furious action against the Holy Covenant, again showing favor to those who abandon the Holy Covenant. Armed forces will come at his order and profane the sanctuary and fortress. They will abolish the burnt offering and set up the abomination that causes desolation. And he will do as he pleases, such it. So the ships of Kittim are originally in the name of Cyprus. At the time of appointed, he returned to finish the conquest of Egypt, but with very different results this time. He now had to contend with the ships of Kittim, Cyprus, and these are the coastlands around the Mediterranean, especially at here, Rome. Rome wished to conquer the Mediterranean, so it allied with Ptolemy's to stop Antiochus IV. A Roman commander met Antiochus IV outside of Alexandria, presented him with a letter from the Roman Senate, demanding he relinquish all claims in Egypt and return home, not wishing to comply, but knowing he dare not risk war with Rome. Antiochus stalled. The Roman commander then drew a circle around the sand and demanded that he respond before leaving the circle. Antiochus had to withdraw in humiliating feet. Enraged, he took action against the Holy Covenant, Jews in Judea. He sent to Jerusalem a chief tax collector who killed residents and plundered the city while rewarding Jews who supported Hellenism. Pay attention to those who forsake the Holy Covenant, who backslide. Later than that same year, Greek forces returned and profaned the temple by stopping the regular burnt offerings, setting on the abomination that makes desolate. Some sacred objects relating to Zeus and offering a pig. This event provides the background for future similar event prophesied by Jesus. Now, this is a footnote in the Archaeology Bible. Prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24:15 and Mark 13:14. The Greeks again rewarded Jewish Hellenizers, but faithful Jews, those who know their God. Okay, here we are. This is the passage. This is the definition. Okay, it's Daniel 11:32. So, and choose to stand firm and encourage others to resist. So many died. All right. So let me read that. Armies shall be, verse 32, Armies shall be utterly swept before him and broken, even the princes of the covenant. And from that time that an alliance is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, and he shall become strong with a small people without warning. I'm sorry, it was 23. Without warning shall come in the richest part of the province. Okay. Let me come. And he shall do what neither his father nor his father's fathers have done, scattering them on plunder, spoil, and goods. He shall devise plans against strongholds, but only for time. And he shall stir up his power and his heart against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall wage war with an exceedingly great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for plots shall be devised against him. Even those who eat his food shall break him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. As for the two kings, their hearts shall be bent on doing evil. They shall speak lies at the same table, but to no avail. For the end is to be at the time appointed, and he shall return to his land with great wealth, but his heart shall be set against the holy covenant, and he shall work his will to return to his own land. All right, now I'm going to read starting in verse 29 about the ships of covenant, Kittim, and then I shall also do the same in the Complete Jewish Bible. At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south, but it shall not be this time as it was before. For ships of Kittim shall come against him, and he shall be afraid and withdraw, and shall turn back and be enraged and take action against the holy covenant. This is a holy war. We hate you. We hate you, believers in the one and only God. He shall turn back and pay attention to those who forsake the holy covenant. Okay, so he's going to go after those who what? Apostatize, backslide. Hellenizers. It's just, I'm going to come along to go along. I'm not principled in my belief system. Forces him from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering. This is in Jerusalem. And they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Armed forces will come at his order, complete Jewish Bible, and profane the sanctuary and fortress. They shall abolish the daily burnt offerings and set up the abomination that causes desolation. Okay, now let's go to 32, verse, those who act wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt with his blandishments, but the people who know their God will stand firm and prevail. Okay, he shall seduce with flattery, blandishments, those who violate the covenant. Okay, so here it is. Here's the definition here. Who are these people? Watch out for these people. They will betray you. Okay, they are not faithful to God. They're just trying to, you know, make sure their flesh gets what their flesh wants. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. And what is that? Well, that's a whole other teaching, covenant people. But the people, who's God? We serve no king but Jesus. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Those among the people who have discernment will cause the rest of the people to understand what is happening. Nevertheless, for a while they will fall victim to sword, fire, exile, and pillage. While they stumble, they will receive a little help, although many who join them will be insincere. Even some of those with discernment will stumble, so that some of them will be refined, purified, and cleansed for an end yet to come at the designated time. Okay, so let me read it over here. He shall seduce those with that flattery, those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God will stand firm and take action. And the wise among the people shall make many understand, though for some days they shall stumble by sword and flame, by captivity and plunder. When they stumble, they shall receive a little help, and many shall join themselves to them with flattery. And some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits for the appointed time. So then in the other scripture, I think it's the King James, those who know their God will do exploits. So I looked it up in the interlinear, the Septuagint translation. Okay, here we go. In the translation from the Septuagint, verse 32. Oops, sorry. And he will ruin by flatteries those who do evil against the covenant. But the people who know their God will be strong and will work or do exploits, it says in the King James. We'll do exploits. And those who understand among the people will teach many, yet they will stumble by the sword and by flame, by exile and spoil 4 days. And when they stumble, they shall be helped with a little help, but many will join them with hypocrisy. Ooh, watch out. And many of those who understand shall stumble to refine and to purge them and to make white to the time of the end, for it is yet for the appointed time. And the king shall do. Okay, I want to talk about this particular passage. Those who know their God. Okay, what is knowing God? Those who know their God, those believers, those who are not insincere and full of hypocrisy and still out for their self, okay, those who know their God, you cannot get in if you love anything more than God and His will preeminent. Those who know their God. Okay, how do we know God? What does it mean to know God? What does that phrase mean? Now, the thing about the Hebrew, and this is why I'm reading so many different renderings or translations, is that there are no vowels, and according to the context that the letters are in, or the framing of the idea is in the Hebrew, is how the words are translated into English, just because of the cultural time perceptions that those who do translations have to negotiate through. All right, here we go. Awesome. So, how do we know our God? Well, how does scripture? I'm not going to give all the scriptures. There are different ways and different applications. The fear of God is not a one size application. It's multifaceted. Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Exploits are daring feats of valor. Exploits. This is a little more than just work. It's like, have you got the anointing, like Joshua and Caleb, to take down giants and run up the mountains? Doing feats of valor, they know their God. They seek His face. They seek His face. Okay. So, how do you meet? So, they meet with their God in Exodus 33. And they fear the Lord. In Malachi 3, they fear the Lord, and these were His treasured possessions. They fear the Lord because they reverenced Him. They know who He was. They understood that every breath and cell that they take comes from Him, and that has to come under submission to God. It cannot be under submission to the old nature that is corrupted by rebellion and disobedience. You stand. So the fear of the Lord, those who do exploits. Leviticus 19 says, but they shall fear their God. I am the Lord. You shall fear your God. You need to do this. And those that fear the Lord, okay, they will rise up. And they that fear the Lord will, what? Keep all His statutes and His commandments. Keep all His statutes and His commandments. Woo! Does that mean the dietary laws of 613 commandments, okay? And about some of them are for the temple and the reconstituted to the land of Israel. They're applicable only for that. Those laws are in country, or the dietary laws, or whatever. But Jesus, who is, as He changes our hearts and writes His laws and commandments by the finger of His Spirit, Okay, Ezekiel 37, 36, and 37. In our hearts, takes out the stony hearts. He puts in a new heart, right? He writes it. Those who are submitted to the Holy Spirit will understand, as it says in Revelation 12, that this is who the enemy, the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, the dragon are after. Those, the children of the woman, those who have faith in Yeshua and keep his commandments. Well, what commandments are there? Yeshua said, he asked the young man, said, oh, Lord, I've kept all your commandments. And the Lord loved the rich young man. And he said, so what is the greatest? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That's the four commandments in the Decalogue. And the sixth commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have spoken rightly. And this is all the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. This is the guiding measuring rod in our heart and our mind by the Spirit that dwells in us. It's not by intellectual assent or what you think you've done or your own righteousness. Oh my gosh, I've seen so many religious, self-righteous spirits who they're always, you know, justifying their sin and enabling it. And they don't even have a clue what they look like. Like Isaiah 6 said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the pillars in the temple shook, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and I repented in dust and ashes and said, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a profane people, people of unclean lips. I live here. I have to negotiate to this. And the Lord said, whom will I send? And I said, Lord, send me. Okay. So his eyes are a flame of fire. And he was afraid. He was afraid. But in Deuteronomy 6:13, it says, thou shalt fear him and serve him and swear by him. In Deuteronomy 6:24, I know I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, but this is about our walk with him. What we do on a personal level is to keep the commands of the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to fear him. 8:16, to keep the commands of the Lord your God. And so when we are surrendered to God and crucify our flesh, because our flesh wants its Hellenized way and interpretation of scripture and twisting of the serpent's mouth and twisting of those who are hypocrites and insincere, okay, those people, Deuteronomy told me to watch them or to watch out. Are they flattering you? Are they insincere? Yeah, there's lots of them. Be guarded, be careful, be on your guard. Fear him and walk in all his ways. Love him and serve him with all your heart and soul and strength and might. Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy 20. Fear him and serve him and cleave to him and swear by his name. And Deuteronomy 11:25 and 13:14, 17:19. To read and keep all the words of his law. And fear him. Not just to read, isn't that nice? So intellectual sin. And fear him is like it's in your heart. It's in your spirit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Observe all the words of the law in the book. Fear him, his glorious and fearful name. You should tremble when you hear his word. You should tremble when you hear his name. And it's under the anointing of his servants or messengers. Deuteronomy 28:58. Deuteronomy 3:16, be strong and courageous, know and fear the Lord. Your God goes before you, and he will not fail nor forsake you. Okay, this is talking about battle. Now we're getting into the definitions of the fear of the Lord is you come under the armies of the Lord of the armies. That he's the force. He's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is Adonai Sabaoth. That is his name. God of gods. And he will go before you. If he commands you to do it, he will go before you. But if you have taken and made it happen, a prophetic word, you're going to get some backlash shock you can't believe. And you, oh, I did all this for God, and I paid the price. No, you didn't. You took God's word, and you made it happen. And you did not do it in his ways. You did it in your arm of flesh. That happened with I. when Joshua went in and they went into Jericho and they did it and blah, blah, blah. And then they said, and then God said, go take an eye. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And then they repented and said, okay, we're going to do that. We'll go do this. And they went in and they got defeated. And so Joshua went before the Lord and he said, why? And he explained to him, you didn't get rid of the profane things. You didn't do it when I told you to do it. You know, is God's will, but not his ways. Well, that has to do with our behavior, doesn't it? And our attitudes. And whether we want to do it when we want to do it, or we want to wait on the Lord and do it his way. Deuteronomy 8:16, keep command of the Lord thy God. Keep the commands of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. If you think that God is just your little servant, you know, to catering to you, no. You're supposed to be his servant. You're supposed to serve him. So if any of you have ever been a waitress or, waited on tables, a waiter, those who wait upon the Lord, right? Any of those who are the cupbearers of the Lord, whatever your role is, you don't tell God what to do. And if you go through presumptuous sin and take the bit in your mouth and say, God said this, come here and do this, and blah, blah, blah. And right there, your attitude's wrong. There's not a position of submission and, submission and humility and fear of the Lord and honoring his ways. Deuteronomy 10:12, fear him. Walk in all his ways. Love him. Love him. And serve him with all your heart and soul.